Financial Matters.
19 minutes after 8 o'clock, Nduduzi Luthuli is my guest, investment manager at Luthuli Capital. Ndu, good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us again this week. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Aubrey. How are you doing?
I'm well, man. I'm curious to talk about how we begin to manifest that dream of wealth that many of us have. I really am looking forward to this because I really believe that, those of us who seek it should speak to those that can teach. And you are certainly one of those people. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Kick us off, Ndu. How do we bring that dream to reality?
Yeah, so over the last 2 weeks, we've been speaking about this, discussion about this approach, it's not an outcome, and the need to fall in love with and be willing to suffer for the process of finding meaning in that suffering. I think a key third component that we sort of hinted at but didn't really focus on that I think is an important part of the brain.
We're losing you, my brother. I don't know if you can just maybe move around a little bit, but we keep losing every second word you say.
Can you hear me now?
I can. You were saying that last week, over the last 2 weeks, we were speaking about the suffering that's connected to the commitment for any dream that we have. And then I think I lost you there.
Sure, yes. So I was saying over the last 2 weeks, we were talking about wealth being a process as opposed to an outcome, and how choosing that process is choosing suffering, and you got to find meaning in that suffering because it's a lot of hard work. And I think something that hinted at but didn't really go deep into is this concept of commitment, because it's one thing to say, I want to create wealth, making the decision, but it's a whole other thing to actually do it, committing to the process. And for me personally, I'm one of those people who strongly believe that building wealth doesn't require genius. It doesn't require an extreme level of talent. Yes, you need to learn some skills. And it doesn't require privilege necessarily. Yes, you need access, but you don't necessarily have to be born into a wealthy family to create wealth. Yeah. Or for the most part, it requires commitment to your financial success. And I think once you have the commitment, the rest will follow. And it's simple cause and effect for me, because commitment is the cause that drives you to act, which produces the final effect, the financial effects, which is wealth, the financial effects that you want. So commitment motivates perseverance, which is really the true source of financial success. Because there's a huge difference between wanting financial freedom, like I've said, and having a commitment that leads to constructive action. I mean, after all, you already know, most of us already know what we should be doing. We should be saving more, investing wisely, budgeting, all those things. We know what we should be doing, but we're not doing it. So knowing what to do and actually doing it are two separate things. And for me, commitment is what bridges that gap between the financial knowledge, knowing what you should be doing, and the implementation of that knowledge, which produces the desired results, which is wealth. So commitment drives you to overcome things like lethargy. You get into action, you persevere, you gain clarity of commitment. When you're no longer willing to tolerate any other alternative to financial freedom, I always say this, that you've got to choose financial freedom, but you've got to commit to it. And what that means is, you should live your life in a way that doesn't tolerate any alternative but financial freedom, because nothing less is acceptable. And financial freedom can only be created when it's a priority above all other needs. The only way that you're actually going to find enjoyment in budgeting, saving, paying off debt is when financial freedom is a priority and an alternative to financial freedom becomes unacceptable, because this causes you to reprioritize your daily habits, the things that we're always talking about. You reprioritize your daily habits into congruence with your financial goals, to align with your financial goals. You live your life saying, I want to achieve that goal, and I'm going to live my life to bring me to that goal. So commitment transforms your shoulds, I should do this, into wants, where you want to do this thing. You're not being forced to do it.
Yeah.
And that's when you develop that's when you turn discipline into desire. If you want your actions towards financial freedom to be consistent, persistent, and focused, and produce the results you want, you got to have commitment. And this is what I'd like to talk about this evening. Yeah.
Commitment story is a very interesting one. I remember listening to one of Mamelodi Sundowns' coach, Steve Compella, in one of his very verbose commentaries, speaking about the idea of commitment. And he speaks about the chicken and the pig. You know, he says that the chicken. Oh, on your breakfast table, you eat bacon and eggs, right? He says that the chicken bears the egg and you eat the egg. But the chicken is pretty, not committed, but it has really contributed to the project of eating, right? And then he talks about the pig and he says the pig is more committed than the chicken. Because he's given his life. And I thought that was such a brilliant, brilliant way of talking about commitment. Is that what we need to be understanding about commitment, M2?
Most definitely. So it's the point of saying deciding is one thing. Like I keep saying, we all want financial freedom. And you can decide, I can sit with you and we can say, what is your goal? And you can decide you want financial freedom. That's one thing. But actually doing what's necessary to achieve the goal requires an entirely level and different level of commitment, because creating wealth is difficult, and for the most part it's unpleasant. It requires discipline. And how do you turn it from a I must do this, I'm being forced and I need discipline, to desire, where it's a way of life, where you're saying no one needs to hold me accountable. I want to do this. Because what I find is that I constantly meet clients who, it's not the first time they're meeting with someone to get financial advice or someone to look at their portfolio. They probably have they've gone through three or four financial plans. And it's not that any of those plans were bad. It's just they didn't commit to them. And many people will learn the tools and tricks to become wealthy. They'll learn the principles. But very few will put them into practice consistently and persistently enough to succeed. And the reason is simple. It's a lack of commitment, because deciding is never enough. Because deciding is just a warm-up act. It's the real action. That's the commitment. Okay, now that you've decided, what are you doing? What's changed in your life? And intention without action, it's like a car without petrol. You're not going to get very far. And many people, like I say, want to become wealthy, but very few reach that goal, because there's always between this huge gap between deciding and committing, actually doing the act. And there's this huge gap between the decision to seek wealth and the commitment that leads to constructive action. And successfully bridging that gap is the critical difference between success and failure on the road to wealth, because it's a difficult road. And the way you bridge that gap is simple cause and effect. Commitment is the cause that drives you to act, which produces the desired effect. So commitment motivates you to do the work, to acquire the skills, to overcome the inevitable obstacles that will come on your path that lead to success. Commitment is what motivates you to take risks, to actually act. And all these things are actions, and actions are an effect. But the cause of that effect is commitment. And that's my, you know, we did a series a while back around wealth seminars and wealth gurus and all that. I can say that's my biggest problem with these seminars or with wealth gurus, because they promise wealth building systems that sell the outcome, not the process. So build wealth now with these three easy steps, you know?
Yeah.
And there's simply no such thing. Creating wealth is a painful, arduous, and long-term commitment. And any system that skips the commitment phase, which is where you actually have to become the person capable of creating the wealth, any system that says you can skip that phase, which is essential to learning the steps that will make or break your success, for me is at best an unsustainable system. And at worst, it's a fraudulent one, because the truth is, if you were already committed, then you'd already be in the action of building wealth. Where for most people that I meet, they're not acting towards their goal. So they've made the decision, but they're not acting. And that's why we don't see the effects. You're on your third or fourth financial plan, but you've taken nothing from any of them. You haven't implemented one thing. You wouldn't just be thinking about it, you'd be doing it. And the speed at which you grow your wealth directly measures the depth of your commitments, when you put it that way. Either you consistently growing your wealth and financial intelligence, or you're not, and the results don't matter.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. What do you understand the most essential component in the building of wealth for yourself? Do you believe yourself to be committed enough to the process? Sure, you desire wealth, like many of us do. But have you taken stock of what it actually means? Do you understand the levels of commitment? Are you the chicken or are you the pig? Yeah, give us a call, 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Yeah, Steve Compella told the story, and I thought it was quite a compelling story about how the chicken contributes to the breakfast plate by laying the egg, but the pig contributes its life for the bacon that we enjoy. And perhaps that's the level of commitment that Ndu is talking about. Ndu, you're talking about commitment as though it is, if not the most essential component in the manifestation process of the dream of wealth. Is it the most important?
It's the oil in the engine. It's the petrol in the car. Because, like I say, you can decide. We can get you extremely motivated. We can get you to write down your values. We can set up a plan. We can do all that stuff. Beautiful plan. But now you got to do it. And I find that is the hardest part, the most frustrating part of my job, if I can be honest, Aubrey, is playing the principal. Is having to scold adults to do what's in their best interest. You'd think I'm peddling drugs or something. You're fighting with people to do what's in their best interest. You're fighting with people to do what they told you is important to them.
Yeah.
And that's why I referenced those wealth-building programs, because they sell the outcome, not the process, because it's going to be difficult. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You have limited resources, limited time. If that wasn't the case, then you wouldn't need a financial plan. If your resources were infinite, then what are you talking to me for? But they're not. Thus, we have to prioritize. And any program that sells you the outcome, wealth, and not the process, is setting you up for failure, because it's ignoring the importance of commitment. Why? Why do they do this? Because smart marketers know that telling people that, man, this is going to be long, boring, an arduous journey, that doesn't sell well. No one wants to hear that, but that's the truth. But if you say, these are the tactics, these are the strategies that will get you there in three easy steps, people will gladly pay for that. So that's what marketers give them. That's what they pitch, the latest whiz-bang how-to technique. Even if deep down you know that it won't help you. But what I'm also starting to realize is that
it sounds like the manifestos of political parties during an election year. Oh, we're gonna build you 20 houses. We're gonna give you children. Whatever.
It's all these promises. It's like, but how are you gonna do it?
Yeah.
And how are you gonna do it? And more importantly, this is not the first time you're saying this. Why has this not been done before?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing I said to a lot of clients, is like, I'm not going to tell you anything new. There's no secret that I know that the last four financial planners didn't tell you. So why have you not implemented a single thing from any of your previous plans? And the point I was about to make is I'm starting to realize that action seldom results from education. So yes, financial literacy is extremely important. Please don't get me wrong. It's extremely important. But it's clearly not enough. It's not enough just to know. People know what to do. Budget, save, invest, pay off debts, etc. They know, but they aren't doing it. They don't act on the education they already possess. And that's because learning how to is useless when commitment is missing. Commitment is the cause that translates the dream of wealth into real results. It's because I always say this, that money is merely a tool, but it's useless in the hands of a person who lacks commitment, because commitment is the first priority, and then the tool comes second.
Stanley Beckett, in many of the conversations I have with him, speaks of the knowing-doing gap. Like you speaking now, that ultimately the information is there, you know. If we want to know how to lose weight, the information is there. Are you going to wake up at 5 o'clock and run? That's the question that you're asking us here, that it is possible to manifest whatever it is that you desire, but it takes the unsexy, unglamorous, unglamorous part of the activating, the action, to bring it to fruition. If you want to look like a Greek god with this Adonis-like body, well, you got to go to gym. You got to actually do it. You can't buy all of the paraphernalia, you know, that stuff that they put around the head with the sweatbands for the head and the wrists and the knees and the water bottle but you gotta actually go out there and do the work, is what you're saying. But I'm interested in after all that is said and done, is that the only component in the process of manifesting dreams? Or are you saying to me that without that, all of the other issues become useless? It becomes a moot point to even go there if we haven't really, nailed this issue down of commitment. I'm interested also to find out from you, is there a way that we can learn commitment? Can we learn that? I've got a number of calls. Do you want me to take them first, or do you want to?
So let me just quickly just chip in there, because what you're asking me, which one is it? It's the latter, to say that without commitment, what's the point of everything else? And I'll give you a very quick example. I was recently invited to a real estate seminar. You know, someone said, come through, you know, give me some advice. This person says, they've got a program, I can make money through real estate. Fantastic. I went there, I met many participants. And when talking to them, I realized these people have a ton of real estate knowledge. Some of them know more than even me. They had read the books. They've attended multiple seminars. They possessed all the knowledge necessary to become a successful real estate investor 10 times over. At the very least, they possessed enough knowledge to start.
Yeah.
However, none of them owned any real estate. I would, without knowing anything else, I'd even venture to say that many will never own any investment in real estate. Why? They were busy educating, analyzing, pontificating on real estate, but they weren't busy taking the crucial steps, which is to act, start. They weren't making any offers. They weren't analyzing any markets or deals, arranging financing. They were just talking. They wanted it. They wanted it, but they weren't committed enough to actually do it. And the results proved it. Because if you speak to them, say, okay, this is like your fourth or fifth seminar. Have you bought your first property? Not even one. You want to become wealthy. Then you must act. And that's what I'm talking about. That's commitment. Stop talking about it. Do it.
Stop talking about it. Just do it. Mukondi is in Dobsonville, Soweto. Mukondi?
Mr. Masango, no problem to do.
Yeah, how you doing, my brother? What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm not too well, but so let me just share what's on my mind. I remember I went to a seminar with Stanley no Oprah.
Yeah.
And Oprah said, the magic is in the doing.
Yeah. I remember that, Mukundi, yeah.
But you're correct in saying, hey, the commitment part is not sexy, to be honest. It's a boring part, you know.
Yeah.
You just want to summit the mountain, you know. And also, I think two things I want to ask. One, Wuthi, what are the small steps that Ulituli can advise us on? But also number two, you know, with what you've been talking about and the things that I've been implementing, there are times where you fall down, you know, and you have to get back up. Like a personal trainer will say, I want to lose weight and everything.
Yep.
You come for the first few months, and then after that, you don't come to gym anymore. Then you go back in summer, anjan. But also, I wanted to ask, maybe we need a wealth KPI. you know, something that we review every month to say, Vuti, where are you? How is the doing part after I've accessed all the knowledge?
Yeah.
I hope my
makes absolute sense, Mukondi. It makes absolute sense. Let me hear from Dumdu. Can I take just one more call from Kelvin? And maybe you can take all two questions. Kelvin is in Four Ways. Hi, Kelvin.
Yes. How's it, Obi? How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, man. What's on your mind?
The other gentleman's name, your expert?
Mduduzi Lutuli.
You can tell that you've read books like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, and Deepak Chopra. And you know, Deepak Chopra says, set your goal, your manifestation, or whatever it is, or your desire, and leave it up to the universe, and at the right time and the right season, it will show itself to you. You know, so that contradicts a little bit to Napoleon Hill, where it's take action immediately. You know, so sometimes it can be quite confusing and the lines can be quite blurred, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you read Deepak Chopra and Napoleon Hill?
Yeah, Napoleon Hill.
I've read them all, unfortunately.
What's the other guy, Dale Carnegie? How to Win Friends and Influence People?
Yeah. All right.
I've read them all. But I've read them all, and some of them, I'll be honest, I've even forgotten what they said.
Yeah.
And they've all, I have no doubt, played some role in molding me into the person that I am today. But by far, the greatest thing I ever did was just to start. Just to open a unit trust and contribute 500 random. Start. Get some skin in the game. There's this beautiful saying that says, the weakest action is more powerful than the strongest thoughts. You know, and that's what we're talking about is far too many people, they talk about it. Then you say, act. I know it's not nice to budget. I know it's not nice meeting with him. Do says, if you're going to have any chance of ever retiring with enough, you got to put away 10% of your monthly income, if not 20. I know it's not nice paying for that insurance policy that you might never. I know these things aren't nice. And that's why we say that motivation gets you started, but motivation won't keep you going. And the only thing, the previous caller was saying, like, you know, what are the small steps? It's similar to if you ask the gym guys to say, listen, how do I become the next Schwarzenegger? They say, okay, you got to exercise, eat healthy. But obviously there'll be those days where you just don't want to do it. And in those days, just commit to doing 5 minutes. Just get on the treadmill for 5 minutes. If you start, you'll do the exercise. It's the same thing with building any good habits, or the same thing with building wealth. If the goal is to have R1 million, R2 million, R5 million portfolio, start with the 500. Start with that. Make it a habit. Get in the game. You gotta act. And that is the big, big, big gap between most people. They know what they should do, but they're not doing it. And for a lot of people, they're like, I'm committed. I am committed. I'm here. I've paid the consultation fee. I'm speaking to you, aren't I? I'm like, well, show me your results, because the results, they don't lie. If you aren't sure how committed you are to building wealth, there's a simple and certain way to know for sure. Simply judge by the results of your life. Judging by the results isn't always kind. It isn't always fair. But results are like the symptoms that show the disease. They're the clues that display the root causes. So when I speak with clients and I say, listen, you're a high-income earner. You've got a fancy house. You're driving a fancy car. You've got multiple credit card balances. But you have no savings. Do you realize that if you lose your job, you're going to be homeless in a couple of months? What are your results showing you? They clearly show that you're more committed to lifestyle than financial freedom.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
If you read books about wealth and attend seminars, but you have no portfolio, you've got no investment, you haven't acted, your results are not reflecting what you've learned, then that tells me that you're interested in wealth, but you aren't committed to creating it. If you procrastinate, make excuses, get frustrated because you know you should save, invest for the future, learn more about building wealth, build skills, learn financial literacy, but do little to actually move forward, then all you've done is merely decide, but you still haven't committed to becoming wealthy, and your results will prove it. So in other words, look at the characteristics and results of your life honestly and contrast it with your unsatisfied dreams and your desires, because behind your results hides your true commitment, for better or for worse. So look honestly at what you committed to. I always joke and say, don't tell me what's important to you. Show me your bank statement. I will tell you what's important to you. So my question is simply this. Are you committed to financial freedom and creating wealth? Or have you simply just made the decision?
Are you the chicken or the pig? Ask Duduzulu Thuli on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. We do live in our heads, don't we, Duduzi? You know, we love to create realities in our heads, and then we live there. It's like, and I suppose that's why social media has been such a powerful medium, because we live in this virtual reality of our minds and forget that we still have to live in the real world, right? We have to live in the real world where, you know, I remember reading something somebody said. It said that the trouble with smart people is that they think that everything is... begins and ends in the mind. And unfortunately, there is another plane. There's another another place, and that's the lived reality where all of these things must then come into reality or into manifestation. A number of messages coming through here. Al in Johannesburg says, Orbs, it's all much easier than that. No gym is required, provided we stop partaking of all the bloody carbs. That's the secret, says El in Joburg. Yeah, I suppose if all you're looking for is to just, you know, breeze through. But if you're looking for a specific result, I imagine, then there's more that you have to do than just avoid the wrong sort of dietary habits. And I imagine El's, you know, example of diet is true also for the financial diet. And then, of course, this person says, "Hi, Mtu, I love your insights so much. I follow your articles on Wanted magazines." Beautiful, he says. Question, is there a general definition of wealth? Define wealth. Though it can be subjective, I understand, but it does need a common accepted definition, right? Asks Paris 1D Lane, Johannesburg South. I think that's a great question. But how do you respond to Elle's thought there that, yeah, just don't eat the carbs, man. You'll be all right.
Yeah, so for me, my I'll just give my definition of wealth. And for me, my definition of wealth is time wealth. And all that means is to be in total control of your time. To really be, few people are able to wake up in the morning and be able to say, this is what I'm going to do today, because that's what I want to do. And when you can do that indefinitely, sustainably, then you're wealthy. You know, that's my definition of wealth. To answer to speak to the other point of, you know, just avoid carbs. You know, that for me is the wealth guru answer, to say, here's the secret to, you know, here's the secret to quick results, because it might get you going. You might find that you avoid carbs for a week and you lose some weight. But it won't get you to the promised land. It won't get you the six-pack. You got to work for that. And it's the same with wealth, because commitment to wealth is the realization that you will attain financial freedom no matter what, period. That's what I'm talking about. It's not a question of if, but rather how and when. Commitment is when you can, in your mind, get yourself to that point. That's how I live my life, that financial freedom will happen. It's not a question of if. It's how do I do it? And by then, you live your life like that, and then you gain this clarity of commitment when you reach the point where no alternative to wealth and financial security is acceptable. Because when you live your life like that, then it's very easy to save. It's very easy to invest. It's very easy not to do compulsive spending, because it's a way of life. You aren't willing to settle for a nice lifestyle. You know, you want freedom from financial constraints sooner rather than later, and you're willing to do what's legally...
Boom, there's your definition. Say that again.
Legally necessary.
Just say that again. I've been sort of listening to you, but sort of scanning what you're saying for that for that definition for wealth. You said something about...
So, yeah, so, Yeah, so it's when you get to that point where financial freedom is not a question of if, it's how and when. So you aren't willing to just settle for a nice lifestyle.
Yeah.
You want freedom from financial constraints. And the
freedom from financial constraints.
Yeah, and you're willing to do what's legally. So I was making the point that in this country, you have to say what's legally necessary because no other alternative is tolerable. Any alternative to this is the path to wealth, it's just unacceptable to you. That is when you will actually commit. Commitment has courage of conviction and very clear boundaries. It's not nice. It's not going to always be enjoyable, but there's nothing vague about being committed to achieving financial freedom because it's black and white. And this clarity in thinking is what translates into meaningful action in your life. So that's how you attain. You're asking how you attain this level of commitment. It's got nothing to do with self-discipline or amazing grace. Instead, it comes from knowing in your heart what priority financial independence holds in your life and the price you're paying for not having it and the unacceptability of anything else. That's how you get to that commitment. And once you clear that financial freedom is a priority, then it becomes very difficult to live out of congruence, out of alignment with that commitment. You then wake up and you proactively act towards it because that's what you want to do, not because you should do it. That's what you want to do. Your habits change to support financial freedom, and then you start to see the results. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. You know, self-discipline is you know, you get motivation, then you get self-discipline, but we talk about commitment. You got to get beyond. It's got to be something you want to do, not to do calling you up and saying, you should do this.
I'm a big proponent, as you know, Mdu, and I know you are, of the idea of economic freedom in our lifetime. I'm a big proponent of that. But I have come to understand through talking to people such as yourself and many other teachers that it's not a slogan. It's an action. It's an unglamorous, unsexy action that must be done with absolute commitment and consistency. Now, only then will we be able to see economic freedom in our lifetime. Otherwise, we're really just spitting in the wind. And all that's going to happen is that we will just remain voting fodder. We will just remain a means to an end for people that are slightly cleverer than us. But the principles that you're talking about now are true not only for the creation of wealth, but for any worthwhile endeavor. But we're talking about wealth here. We're talking about wealth for people perhaps who desire, as I do and as I'm sure you do, as many people listening to this conversation do, wealth, the freedom from financial constraint. Hey, Matata, that's a very powerful one. The freedom from financial constraint. That there is a sweat equity towards it. There is cheder fees that must be paid. And that is the unglamorous stuff. That is the paying of the 500 Rand per month for, if that's where you want to start. 500 Rand a month for that unit trust situation. Now, here are a number of comments that are coming through, each of them concise, but very, very pregnant with the conversations that surround this particular topic. This person says, Esh Aubrey, Gunzim, but I'll keep trying. For those of you who don't know what that means, this person says, Esh, it's hard, but I'll keep trying. We've had that conversation, too, about the hardness of the matter, yeah? And then this person says, but what happens when the goals move? Yeah? What happens when the goals shift? Well, I'm hoping that the goals shift because they've been achieved. Then you will have learned certain disciplines, certain understandings of the process if the goals shift because you have achieved them. Do your thoughts.
Yeah, so, and I get good deal, but you got to keep trying.
Yeah.
And the one point I want to make is that commitment is not a denial of privilege. Life is unfair, and I'll be the first person to say that. Life is unfair. Some people have privilege, and some are denied opportunities. But a core part of what I've been talking about the last 3 weeks, I think at the center of it, is getting to a point where you believe that you're in control of your life and you have influence in terms of what happens to you. You have some sort of influence. And even this point of commitment talks to that, is that to commit, you've got to be able to believe that your commitment will result in the desired effect. And then when you're able to get to that point mentally, then your commitment raises your energy levels because you're excited about your goal. You'll never be excited about a goal that you don't believe you can achieve. And you can lie to everyone, but you can't lie to yourself. So you got to believe that the goal that you desire is actually attainable for you and that you are capable of attaining that goal and that you control the circumstances that get you to that goal. If you can't get yourself mentally to believe that, then you've already lost. So this whole point I was making of, you got to enjoy saving, investing, budgeting. Someone who enjoys that? You enjoy it because you've decided on this thing and it becomes a way of life. It's not a nuisance to you. It's a calling. It gives you life and purpose. You wake up in the morning invigorated by the opportunity to add to your actions and bring you closer to your dreams. And that's what I mean when it's like, well, there's a process, not an outcome. Because once you commit to the process, then building wealth is fun. It's something you're enjoyable where before it was tedious. When you committed to becoming wealthy, your actions are consistent and persistent. Not you've decided to become wealthy. You committed to becoming wealthy. You live your life in a way that is where if anyone examines your life, and they say, this person is committed. That every day you prioritize your activities to take you closer to financial freedom. And other goals take a backseat because financial security is now in the driver's seat. When you're motivated to save and invest, that's what I'm talking about. Because you'd rather do that than spend valuable resources on unnecessary lifestyle. Yeah.
I want to read you some of the messages coming through on Twitter. Insomniac Angel, a good friend of the show, says, discipline is the key that unlocks your ability to turn desire into manifestation. She says, P.S., don't just dream about it. It requires action to manifest dreams. You can plan forever, but the magic is really in the doing. There you go. Desire plus commitment plus discipline is equal to dream manifestation. She continues to give me a meme that says, believe in what you want so much that it has no choice but to materialize. I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff. I don't know if you remember this reality, Mdu, and that's I suppose, what started me on my path to do the work for creating wealth. I used to sit around guys, you know, the guys that wear these very expensive shoes, those long shoes. I think we call them kick and bobos. And guys would be sitting around at an expensive restaurant, something cafe or something, yeah, drinking cocktails and whatever it is that they were drinking with money that they got from the last tender they won. And they'd be speaking about so-and-so's portfolio, and they'd be able to quote that this person has done this, and their portfolio is this. George Bezos has done this. Oh, this one is. And it was great, great conversations. But I later discovered that the fascination is in being able to quote things, to talk about somebody else's portfolio and not yours. And sometimes that is the thing that fascinates us, talking about this issue, whether it's wealth creation at an individual level or at a group level. We like to talk about it. We like to march about it. We like to wear a t-shirt we don't do it. And that is the message that I'm taking away from you tonight, that sure, the land is good, but we've got to capacitate the man on the land because he's or she is the wealth creator, yeah?
And I often ask how many of us are ready for the land. If we were to be given that land, are we actually ready for it? What will we do with that land, you know? But in closing, I think for me, very briefly because we're running out of time, you know, for me, I want to say to people, for as long as the habits of wealth, so what am I talking about? You're saving, investing, budgeting, paying off debts, all those things are viewed as a must. as opposed to a want, then your chances of creating sustainable wealth, they remain very slim. You must be committed to the process of wealth. It must consume you. And your commitment then to the financial success then creates new networks. Because that's what I found in my journey. Once you commit, you meet the people along the journey that will actually help you get there. You may hire a mentor, you may form an investment group, you may join a professional organization to give you that social structure to support you and hold you accountable. But each of these environments, they enhance your commitment, but they all start with your commitment. Your commitment produces those results. And you've got to move yourself from it being a want to it being a must to it being a want.
How do we follow you, brother?
Sure, they can look for our page on Twitter or Facebook, just look for the Tulu Capital, or they can follow me directly on Twitter at TrustFundZulu, or go to our website, letulucapital.com.
Always great talking to Mduduzi Luthuli, investment manager at Luthuli Capital.